What up, y'all? This is Panda AOD.
And it's Gem City Nate.
Gem City Nate.
Yeah.
And you are listening to
Baycast.
Baycast.
Hey.
Hey, Bay.
Bay.
Hey, Bay.
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 All right.
What up, y'all? It's finally a new season of Baycast, and I guess like a renewal of Baycast because we have been very absent in our lives. I think the last episode we actually put out, we recorded a few, but the last one we put out was probably talking about Nate moving to Columbus.
There was a lot of issues going on there.
Yeah, last one we talked about was you moving to Columbus, I think. I think that was like before we even moved in together. I don't even think we got that far.
It's been a lot of time passing.
Yeah, it's been a lot going on. So we want to recap y'all and just let y'all know where we are, what has gone on in the most concise way possible so that it doesn't get long-winded. So Nate moved up to Columbus in 2019. We lived separately for that whole year. So we had been dating and together for a whole year where we were in different cities. He was in Dayton. I was in Columbus. Then he moved to Columbus in 2019. We lived separately and we both worked. You want to take it from there?
Yeah, we had our little discussions back and forth about being apart. And me not having the weekends off and being, you know, caught up in work and whatnot. Fast forward then, 2020, we move in together. She had to twist my arm on that, but
I did not twist your arm on moving in together.
You don't know. You kind of made like an ultimatum, like, well, we're going on 3 years, and if you don't, we owe it to ourselves, and if you don't want to do this, then what does that say about us? So I made the jump.
I don't remember those exact words being what I said, but yeah, I guess what I did say was like, we're going on 3 years, so we need to figure out what's the next step. And for people who know me, like mainly my girlfriends, it's like, I'm that person where I just set standards for myself. And before Nate and I started dating, I had already made up my mind as far as how I was going to move differently towards relationships, just not wasting time, but also not rushing things, making sure that everything feels good. Like, if it doesn't feel right, then it's not meant to be. And so with Nate and us, once we started getting to that three-year mark, I'm like, okay, it's feeling good. The relationship seems great. The next step would be for us to move in together, which some people say you shouldn't, but that's neither here nor there. That's just like whatever preference or, you know, different perspectives. But for me, I think you should move in with your significant other at a certain point to make sure y'all can cohabitate together and just like still keep the momentum going under the same roof. Yeah.
So that happened and things were surprisingly well. I mean, I ain't had no issue. Like, I had no thought that it wasn't going to work out. It was just, you know, me being a quote unquote bachelor. And then moving in, it's like, oh, man, like, all my freedom's about to go away, but it's nothing's changed. So, yeah. And then, well, is there anything else that happened in between then before that?
Well,
I would say us taking the leap full time.
Yeah. So, we moved in together. And I would say we moved in June of 2019, right? No, June of 2020.
Yeah.
And then, so we moved in together June of 2020. And then I left my job November of 2020.
Yeah.
And for the background on my work, I worked at the same place for 4 years from 2018 to 2020. Hold on, that's not right. 2016 to 2020. Worked that job for 4 years. It was really good the first two. The last two, it was really bad. It felt very limiting. I felt like there was no way for me to perform well at that point because it was not, the environment wasn't measuring me. They were no longer measuring me on my performance. They were just measuring me or treating my position as, you know, relative to what they needed, what they wanted to pay to anyone. As far as like at that time, they weren't doing what they needed to do, in my opinion, to continue to encourage growth within the company and also to pay what somebody deserves to be paid. So it was a great catalyst to a lot of things. I learned a lot working there. It was a finance position. So I love finance now because of that job. And also it just opened my eyes up to corporate America and just the world. So it definitely was worth it. Excuse me. It was definitely worth it. But it was time for me to go.
Yeah. I'll say push the mic over a little bit. There you go.
I want to make sure I can be picked up.
No, you could. I mean, it was picking everything up. It was picking up like swallowing gulps. And... so, yeah.
Why'd you tell me that?
I was going to, but you was in mid-talk. It added that. But, yes. That's a good drink.
Yeah, so basically, long story short, I left my job in November. And then Nate always jokes that he took too long to make the leap. So
I ain't joking. You told me that.
Nate took too long to take the leap. So I took the leap first. When Nate first moved up here, I told him, I was like, hey, if you want to move in with me, if you want to, you know, pursue your career outside of working for somebody else, if you want to seriously pursue videography, then we can make that happen. Just move up here. I'll cover the rent. And I told him, I was like, I know you will pay rent, but if there's a month that you can't make it, there's no pressure. Like, I just want you to be able to pursue your dreams. And Nate was like, nah. He's like, nah.
I ain't about to be sitting around, like, just if nothing happens and I'm just going to be mooching or looching. Nope, I'm not doing that.
So. Yeah. And so I didn't force it or, like, pressure him to leave his job. I knew he wasn't ready, and I was like, okay. And at the time, I didn't know that I would leave my job when I did. Like, I was more so focused on continuing to put into my retirement and to just grow in the company, to rise up further than what I was rising. And then the culture just changed, and the perspective that I had on working in that company for longevity changed. So it was just time to go. And I think that was the best decision I made. So it was a nerve-wracking decision, but it was a decision that I was sure of. I planned for it. I was saving. So when I took the leap, it was nerve-wracking, but it was only nerve-wracking because now everything's on my plate. So now I have to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do and performing for my clients so that I'm going to keep my income coming in, because now I'm completely responsible for my income.
I was in the same boat. I mean, I'll be coming home from work and I'm just like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's like, I'm trying to choke it up and I'm like, all right, I can hang in there a little bit more. But then it's like, it got to the point where for me, on my side, business is shooting video, that I was turning down more work than usual. So I was like, man, I can't keep doing this because I'm not going to have a name if I keep doing this. So I'm like, man, all right, like, something's got to give. So I started crunching the numbers. And like Chanel said, as Capricorns, we analyze the hell out of things. So I was just like, all right, what do I do in this situation? But at the end of the day, I'm just like, all right, at some point, I'm just going to have to eventually just go based off faith and just see what it's about. Because I'm like, you only get, you know, one shot, one life. I was like, YOLO, whatever. And I always tell folks how I wrote my 2-week notice up, and I just played Russian roulette with it that one night. I was just like, you know what, it's it. So I was like, all right, let me see if I'm a hit send on the first try or whatever. And I was like, and it did. And I had my eyes closed, and I heard that swoosh, and I was like, well, it's like, that's that. Like, it is what it is.
And like, so before I left my job, I made sure to go talk to Nate about it. Like, he was chilling in his studio. And I just sat on the floor by the door and was like, hey, I think it's time for me to like walk away. And I think it's important to mention that only because it was important for me to know where Nate, like how he felt about it, where his mind was on it, because I was nervous making the decision, not only for myself, but I'm like, is he going to be okay with this? Because at the end of the day, I'm looking at him as my partner at this point, like just moving in together, still having a really great relationship, great communication. I was like, I need him to be okay with this for me to be able to make this leap, because I didn't want to put a strain on our relationship and also a strain on just his mental of being like, dang, I gotta pick it up because she going down to a smaller income, or, you know, she's going to be working for herself. So now there's more pressure on me to stay in my job. And I didn't want that for him. So I made sure that he was good with it. And then we crunched some numbers and I put in my 2 weeks. And it was the best time to do it. I felt like my jar of, like, capacity...
My mental capacity jar was like here.
And if I didn't take that leap when I did, I probably would have, like, it would have been a whole different story. And then a lot of my friends who work in corporate, a lot of my female black friends all say the same thing as far as like the mental health, that it, the way it affects your mental health. And I'm not saying that every job is like that. And there's so many amazing opportunities for working for corporate companies. So I would never try to lead people to say that it's bad. It's not bad. Certain situations get bad. And I think the mental health, it impacts everything. So if your job is affecting your mental health, then that's impacting your relationship at home, your friendships, your self confidence, your self-awareness. It just makes you feel very fragile and vulnerable. And so I was feeling myself getting to that point, and I just was like, I can't do it anymore.
So that was what I was gonna ask. So anybody out there wondering, like, what got you to that point of saying this is it? I think you answered it, but I think that's what most folks that have the idea or notion of wanting to work for themselves or to leave their job, they have a tornado of questions like, oh, what should I do? How's this going to work? Where am I going to get money? Yada, my benefits, yada, yada. I'm like, all I can say is, yeah. Like, it might not answer your question, but yeah. Like, you're going to have those questions. You're going to have those thoughts. You're going to have those fears. But is it something that you want to do? Yes or no? I mean, it's just the risk, you know, it is. It is what it is. But yeah, it's just up to you and your personal preference of what you're able to tolerate.
Yeah. And you just have to really be like, you shouldn't be overly strategic about it, because you'll drive yourself to never do it. And that's kind of what I thought with Nate. I was like, I hope he doesn't stay in this position that he wants to leave, because he's such a analyst and an overthinker. So with me, I would say that you still have to do some strategy. Like, you should plan your exit. There are times where people just have to go. Like, you might have just a horrible day. And Nate's mom told us a story like that with her. But it's like, you might just have a horrible day and you walk in to work and it's a wrap. But the goal would be for you to make a strategy and have an exit plan so that you're not as overwhelmed when you leave. Like, for me, I actually put too much on my plate. When I was getting ready to leave my job, I put so much on my plate that I had to, like, let some stuff go. I had to take myself out of some organizations, and I had to re-strategize what I wanted to do and what those important things were, because my time was strapped. Like, my time is still a little bit strapped, but thankfully I have some people helping me. And I brought on somebody to help me with websites, which is my older brother, who's really good at doing that as well. So I'm building a team, like, here and there. So it's been better, but I put too much on my plate. And so if you're somebody who wants to also stack the deck with, you know, all these chances and opportunities, then I would recommend doing that. But then you also have to realize that there's going to come a point where you're going to have to decide, okay, what do I have to prioritize first? What comes next based off of different factors? So for me, it was like, okay, I'm making money off of these things. I also enjoy these things. and this is important to me because I see where it's going. So I had to make decisions based off of like that future, what I saw happening in the future and those goals that I set for myself.
Okay. So yeah, that's where we're at right now. So
but you left. When did you leave your job?
It was in April. So I left them around. I was planning on April 30th, but I was like, yeah, I need to get up out of here sooner, man. So it was about the 27th.
Yeah.
Yeah, 25th or 27th, one of them days. I left on, my last day was a Tuesday.
And it's crazy because with you and me, our when you moved up to Columbus, our schedules completely changed. So when he was living in Dayton, but he was working like not regular hours, but like he would work early in the morning and get off by like 2 o'clock.
No, I'm just sure that
Monday through Friday.
No, I'll get off at noon.
Noon, Monday through Friday. And then he was off on the weekends. So I would come down on the weekends, or he would come up here on the weekends, and we would just rock that way, which was great because we at least had the weekends. When he moved up here, he was off.
She was mad.
I wasn't mad. I was salty, but I had to deal with it. He was off Wednesdays and Thursdays, and he worked weekends, and his weekend schedule was like 3 to 12 or something like that, and then his workday schedule was fine, but it was still tough because we were both working, and he was working and only having Wednesday and Thursday off. So on Wednesdays and Thursdays, he was booking video shoots. And then the weekends, it was like I was doing a lot by myself, which was fine. I can do that. I enjoy those things. But we weren't getting any of the time like we had when we were like recording together, and he would record my podcast, or I would go with him to his video shoots. We just weren't able to do that because the days where he's shooting, I'm working. So it just like really threw a wrench in our flow that we had, but thankfully it didn't change a thing with our relationship, which is like amazing.
Yeah, I would say we definitely rocked through that year, and it was definitely up and down for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
and everybody knows like we, and I don't know if we discussed this prior to, but everybody knows like my grandmother passed away in 2019. His father passed away in August of 2020. And then COVID happened. We both got COVID. We had a hell of a, like, we literally experienced so much in our relationship in our 3 years that it was kind of like, I told him, like, we have stories to tell, like, at this point, because we've been seeing and doing everything, even the protests. He was covering the protests at his job. Us being together, and then me sitting on the couch every day, where like I would be working from home, but I would come and sit on the couch and watch the George Floyd trials. And that's another thing, like another, not in a good way, but a story to tell, because you know, the way I've educated myself and understood the Black community and what we faced as a child was my parents would tell me things that had happened. They play documentaries on the TV. So I always was informed that way. And like thinking about like in the future, if me and Nate have kids, when we have kids, we'll be able to tell them things and give them some knowledge from our perspective, because we're living through things that we wouldn't want to live through. But since we did, we have to share those stories and make sure that George Floyd's story is told. So
mm-hmm. I'm going to say you all over the place. You like... From political to kids. I'm like, well, shoot, we ain't even talk about.
I know. I figured that was going to be next.
Mm-hmm. So you talking about, oh, my God. Now I don't even know how to even segue it.
It's okay. We don't have to, because this, like I said, this is an episode where we're kind of cramming everything in. So.
Mm-hmm. So you see Shonda's hand moving around, whatever. You might see something on that thing. Yeah. You see that? See that rock on it? Because, yeah, I popped the question.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, the Baycast is officially Baycast.
Which it was already officially Baycast, because one thing I liked about Baycast was that we were a boyfriend and girlfriend starting a podcast. And we didn't even plan to do it. Like, it was just something we did for fun that you agreed to, like, on one of our earlier dates. Yeah. And then we just been rolling with it. And we stopped we haven't been recording regularly, but we still made a name for it. Like, people know or recognize Baycast and mention it to us.
Yeah, these folks still be asking, when y'all gonna do another episode this now? We've been busy, man. We've been working.
But we're
getting back into it, swing of it, so.
Yeah, and we've been so busy. Like, one, like, let's not skate over, like, the proposal. Like, I was so happy. Like, I was so shocked, and I was so happy because I've already looked at Nate for a while as, like, my person. I'm like, okay, this dude crosses. He checks all the boxes. He's, like, the best partner, best support person. He is grinding. We're grinding together. Like, we both left our jobs. We are both getting gigs. We're still very busy. So for him to have asked me when he did, which was the weekend of my birthday.
Yeah.
So my birthday was Sunday, May 30th. He asked me on Friday, which was the
8th.
I'm about to say one of the 27th, the 28th. Yeah, 28th. So him asking me that kind of set that whole weekend in like a freaking... I don't even know what word to use. Like, it made the weekend, like, so crazy. Like, super fast. Everything went by super fast, but it was also, like, a very energetic, fun-packed weekend because we went from him coming in the house, and I'll let him tell you guys how he proposed.
Oh, my God. So, first of all, that day, I had a shoot with one of our clients down in Cincinnati, and it was about a two-hour drive from Columbus, from where we stay, so I had to get up at 5-6 in the morning, and I've been on the run all day, so I had a shoot with her at 9 o'clock, and we had two shoots, so it didn't end until about 11:30, and then something was like, okay, well, Shonda didn't know because she wanted to come down with me, but I told her, I was like, nah, you can sit this one out. I'm like, it'll be quick, I'll be doing a lot of running around. And so I told our client, because she knew Shonda's birthday was coming up. And she's like, oh, where are you going to get her? And I was like, and I thought about it. I was like, I'm going to get her a ring. And she's like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm going to get her a ring. So from there, I was just thinking about it throughout the shoot. And then after the shoot, I was like, all right, where am I going to go? So I was driving up 75. And then I was like, well, I'm about to drive past the Dayton Mall. Let me stop in and look. Because I had already, like, prior to even looking for a ring, I'd already asked her mom and dad, shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Hunter, like, they gave me their blessing, so I've already asked them months back. So back to the present time, I was like, yo, I walk into Jared and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing here, but help me out. And so I'm over here texting her mom, I'm texting my mom, and then, you know, fast forward a bit, I actually get the ring, but they said that it wasn't going to be ready until the next day. That next day, on the 29th, I had a wedding to shoot, and I told them, like, no, I can't do the next day. I was like, I need it today. And so they was like, well, we can have it by 6 o'clock. I was like, all right, cool. And so I left there after getting the ring, and I had a rehearsal dinner to, you know, look at the landscape of the wedding the day before. And so I'm up there. So I'm in Springfield, so I'm only 30 minutes away from Columbus. Shonda's checking in on me because she hadn't heard from me all day. I'm telling her, oh, everything good, yada, yada. And then she's questioning me at this point because I told her I'm heading back down to Dayton. And I'm telling her I'm trying to visit my folks real quick. She's like, oh, you ain't do that already? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to handle some. She ain't know, but I went because they actually did the ring early and picked that up around 4 or 5, and then came back up here. That was the longest drive back up that I ever had. That longest 30 minutes, I'm like, come on, man. Because I'm just thinking, like, all right, do I want to do it at a birthday party? Do I want to do it after the wedding? I was like, nah, that's too cliche, and I don't know. But so, yeah, when I walked in the door, I'm just like, oh, I had it in my pocket, and she's just sitting there on the couch just chilling. And I'm like, okay. And so I kind of just, like, I don't know. I was just play fighting with her. I was wrestling with her. And she was like, what the hell? What are you doing? What are you doing?
He fell on my leg.
Yeah. And then that's when I, like, go ahead and pulled the ring out. But inside joke. I kept doing that with her before, and she kept threatening me, like saying how she was gonna punch the shit out of me or slap the shit out of me.
I just was like, stop doing that, because he would like, we would just be chilling and kicking and having fun, laughing, and somehow we get to a point where it's like he tries to segue onto his knee, and I'm like, okay, you're not gonna keep doing that to me. Like, he never did it all the way where he like literally, I thought he was proposing and he like laughed or we made a joke about it. He never took it that far like some people we see on like the internet, because I would have been really pissed off at him. Mm-mm. But he would always be jokingly like going on his knee, and I'd be like, Nate, stop playing, like quit playing with me. So when he proposed, it was that same reaction at first. Like, I had my hood over my face. I'm like, bruh, get up. Like, yeah. Get up, quit playing. And then I started to notice that he wasn't saying anything. Like, he wasn't saying anything. So then as I still had my hood over my face, I'm like, all right, this might be real. Like, you might, Shonda, you might need to, like, look at him.
Like, yeah, look at me, damn it. Look at me.
Look at him while he's doing this. This is a big moment for him, just like it's a big moment for you. So I took it off of my face and, like, hugged him, kissed him. He hadn't even asked yet. He was so nervous. And then he said what he said. He asked me, and I said yes.
I'm like, please, say something.
But yeah. It was so good, though. And it was perfect because I'm not, like, I'm a social person, but I'm not a flashy person. And the way he did it was, it was us, and it was personal. Knowing us, we also have, like, videography, and we're all into, like, photos and all that. So we didn't do any of that. Like, it wasn't on camera. It was just very personal, very private. And then I called my folks, of course, and found out that they knew for so long.
Yeah.
And it just made it that much better that he worked through my mom and his siblings knew, and my dad. And it just felt really, and my uncle, it just felt really good to know the village behind us that really were anticipating this moment.
Yeah. It was funny because your mom was like, all right, when June come around, I'm going to start asking, like, what's the hold up? What's the hold up? But, yeah. No, I told her why. I told her at the beginning. I was like, look, I'm going to ask for y'all blessing, but it's not going to be right away. I gotta handle some things. But I was like, but I just want to knock that out so that I know I got it, so that I can, so nothing ain't going to know a hold up.
Yeah, because when you ask for my blessing from my parents, when? January.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
My dad's birthday.
Yeah, and that's crazy because I was like, dang, I didn't even realize it was your dad's birthday. So that's like some mafia godfather type stuff right there.
Yeah, he asked for my hand on my dad's birthday, which is January 14th, and they told him yes. And my dad, his silly self, told me, but he didn't tell me. The way he told me, I didn't believe him. I thought he was just playing. So he had told me. Like, me, I was talking to him, and I was like, yeah, you know, Nate probably going to be the one. And he was like, oh, yeah, he already asked. And I was like, what? And then I went to my mom and asked her, and she was like, she played it off so well. She was like, why would he tell you that? Like, he needs to stop playing with you like that. And she went into my dad and was like, why would you tell her that? And so I didn't believe it. And so when it happened, so that was in January. When it happened, which was May, it felt so... I had no idea. Like, I did not see it coming. And then with my mom, she made up like this elaborate thing about her and my dad renewing their vows, which their anniversary is July 5th. And so she wanted the girls to send her rings that we thought looked good and all that. And I had a hunch then, like, this don't seem right, but I still didn't know. So I was completely surprised when he did it. And I mean, it's been, I feel like even just the proposal leveled things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now it feels like we even elevated a little more. Like, we already were, like, grinding, and our businesses are booming. We're bringing in money consistently month to month. And so it's just been a great journey we've been on. And that proposal was just, like, the icing on the cake. So now I'm in, like, wedding planning mode.
Yeah. Yes. And I asked her, I was like, you know, you ain't going to be a bridezilla now, are you? And she was like, no.
And yeah. I'm not. Mm-hmm. We initially looked at a couple venues, and I was looking at the Dayton Art Institute, and it was just too much. It was like the vision I had was great, but it was too much. The walking for the elders in our family would have been too much. So we're going to pivot on that and we'll find somewhere good. Like, we are not getting married this year, so we have a little bit of time.
I told you that. I told you we had time.
But the venue is the most important thing, because you lock in the venue, which helps you lock in your date. So we're at the final stages of that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a little time to breathe, and then I'll start planning everything else as far as like the bridal party, the engagement party will come first, but then like planning out who we're going to have in our ceremony and our color scheme, finalizing that, and, you know, catering, all of those things.
But now everybody on the post that she tried to play me and your mama on, talking about how, S&Gs, shits and gigs, we just gonna say, like, oh, let's have it at Stuyver's. You know how many folks was on that post was rocking with me and your mom when we suggested that? Now, not to say we was all out serious about it, but
you was serious. If you could have made it happen, if Nate could have made it happen, he would have. The joke was that Nate pitched having our wedding at our high school, which is Stuyver's School for the Arts. I absolutely 100% did not want to, and I told him flat out no. But
hating.
He even kept talking about having our wedding colors being orange and black, which now, is Stuyver's colors.
I know that was a push. I was just going along with the theme, but
with Stuyver's colors and his college colors, which was Heidelberg. So I'm like, we're not doing that. I don't want no black and orange wedding looking like Halloween. And I
white and orange, I'm gonna say.
I don't really know. So no, just no.
Cream.
But no, so it is nice that everybody who knows us and like people we've grew up around, our high school friends, our family, everybody's super excited for us. We're super excited. Max is excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so now I guess to look forward, we have, you know, the wedding. We have our businesses continuing to grow. We're able to spend more time with each other, more time with our family. So we're just in a really good place. And like Nate said, knock on wood, that everything just keeps going, because I feel like I'm in a place where everything that I've done, all of my movements, just for myself, not even like before I met Nate and then while we got together, the movements, the strategic movements on everything, and not saying our relationship was a strategy, but like, knowing what I wanted and what I needed in a relationship and knowing what I needed to work on to be able to facilitate that for myself, because, you know, there's a lot of people who know what they want in a man, but what behaviors are you exhibiting to get what you want? So for me, previous relationships with, you know, horrible arguments or, you know, getting to a place where you don't like each other anymore, I had to look at those situations and be like, Shonda, what can you do differently? Like, even if that person was wrong, even if that person was a jerk, what did you do? What was your behavior that you could do differently moving forward? And so I did all of that work before I got with Nate. So I feel like laying those stones down and doing that work prepared me to have the relationship that he and I have, and prepared me to receive the goodness that came with Nate.
Mm-hmm. The goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oof. He was like, even though he was a jerk, this, I was like, uh-oh.
Because I mean, that's not every relationship, but I'm just saying the bad ones where I had to sit there and analyze and be like, because your initial thought is, oh, they're that person and it's crazy, or they're this. And I'm like, those things may be true, but
you got to self-evaluate.
What did you do to, you know, to pour into that situation? And like, for instance, not being an argumentative person, but getting engaged in an argument is something that you don't have to do. So for me, it was like, okay, you hate arguing, but you allow yourself to do that. How do you prevent that? And then that goes into a whole rabbit hole of, okay, communication. How is your communication? So everything that I had questions about, I had to work on with myself before getting with you. And then when we got together, it was still a challenge and a journey, because we don't argue, but there's times where we probably could have gotten into an argument over something petty. If I'm looking at the past Shonda, like past Shonda, if you do something that annoyed me, it's just like, eventually I'm going to start saying something, and then it's going to be like, all right, she's naggy or something like that. And I can own that now, but like, I haven't tried to be naggy in our relationship because everything that you do, even the stuff that's like for me, if it's annoying or if it's something that I don't understand, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. So then it became, okay, how do you grow into his routine just like he's supposed to grow into yours? How do you get to know somebody and accept their little nuances about themselves?
Is that a question?
No, I'm just saying that.
I want to say, because, it was getting in the swing of things and how you operate. I'm like, boy. Yeah. I just had to sit back and like, all right, I had to be a sponge. Had to learn how to be a sponge because I'm like, man, things are going to go her way. But it's like, all right. And then I just try to like look at the cup half full and instead of half empty because I'm like, all right, it could go this way, it could go that way. But I'm like, all right, what is it that she's doing in return like to help, you know, with me? So I'm like, all right, like, what is it that she put up with me? And vice versa. So I'm like, all right. And so I can't say much. But
yeah, but when you say that, it's like prime example was when we first started dating, how I was doing interview after interview and I was doing events and you were there the whole time and you were like, Shonda,
you need to slow down.
You need to slow down. And I really heard you because I felt your energy behind that and I knew that you were really wanting to help me succeed, but I was still pulling you and stretching you because you were still working a full-time job and you had your own things you were shooting. So it really became a moment for me to sit there and think about it and be like, he's right. And I have to slow down. It wasn't perfect at first. Like I was slowing down, but to you, it was still like, all right, you are still at this level. I need you like at this level. And so for me, eventually we got there, we got into that groove, and a part of that was me owning and understanding, like, Shonda, right now, y'all are in a sacrificial part of y'all relationship to facilitate the growth that you want to come. So the sacrifices were, we sacrificed time together with schedule changes, and then I sacrificed a lot of content, like with AOD and creating, because I didn't want to pull your strings too much. And I also, I also didn't want anybody else to do it. Like, I was like, video? I can't go to nobody else. So I just got to slow it down. I did do a couple still interviews, but, like, to the level that we were doing it, I just was like, it got to slow down. I wasn't mad about it or bitter because I knew it was for the greater good. Like, I knew that me slowing down then would benefit us, like, future-wise because we both needed to just, like, do what the hell we needed to do.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. So, that was that. And then, where are we at now?
You go ahead. You can go first. I feel like I was talking a whole bunch.
No, you was. I'm like, I'm just trying to... I'm like, okay. I'm like, again, I'm like, oh. So, where we're at now is just pretty much just building. Like you said, you in wedding mode, and I'm a part of that. But just trying to make sure everything is appeasing and all appeasing to all parties, and just pretty much for me, Shonda might not like it, but I'm just going with the flow. Like, I'm just trying to, I think even after me leaving my job, I've become more lax, maybe not too lax, but just like, okay, like I'm actually like enjoying the fact that I have my time back. So that's why I'm like, all right. And folks, even then in the workforce, folks was like, man, you super laid back. So I'm like, if I'm super laid back and I'm working a full-time job, just imagine, you know, like now I'm like, okay, like I'm for real lax. But at the same time, it's like just keep holding myself accountable for projects that's coming up or that I've already done. And I'm doing those and knocking those out. But it's just like, man, I'm just, okay, this time right here, I'm enjoying it. And then the little memories that we creating and just building and building. I'm just like, all right, yeah, that's what I'm about right now. So
yeah,
so that's where I'm at.
And I love to see it. Like, I really do. Like, I have been so thrilled for Nate since he left his job, and I'm really like excited for everything that's gonna happen for him, for us. But like, I love seeing him as chill as he is and as in control of his schedule as he is and having his downtime and grinding out videos and different stuff. Like, I feel like I always saw that with him. And that's the crazy part. Like, I always saw Nate, not only his potential and not in a cliche way, but like, not only did I see his potential, I saw the future. Like, I really did. Like, looking at him, I knew, like, when we first started dating, I knew exactly where he was going. I was like, all right, this is what you are supposed to do. And then once that kind of started manifesting and he started getting gigs and doing like music videos and weddings and documentaries with us in our relationship, I saw the future. I was like, I know where this is going to go. I know where it's going to go. But then, you know, until it's official, you never really have the full, the wind blowing.
Yeah. Right.
You never really have the full understanding of where it will go. Because you never know. With everything that happens in life, people can change their minds or just get into a space where they might not even know who they are. So many things can happen. So to be able to witness where we've gotten to, from leaving our jobs and even just from our first date, like how we got to this point, and to see Nate in control of his schedule, it's like such a joy, because it's like you're starting to put into that bank that you knew was there, but it wasn't, there was nothing going into it yet. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to put things in that bank, and the bank is really our faith. Like, I feel like, and I told Nate this when he left his job, until you operate in full faith, you won't fully realize what God has for you. Because once you fully operate in faith, everything starts to open up. Doors start to open up. Conversations start to open up. And it just leads to that purpose. So I'm just in a really great place, because I know everything that's happening now, I saw. And so I don't know exactly what's in front of us, but I know we have great things in front of us. I know we want to get a house. I know we want to, you know, continue to build. And I just know whatever we build is going to be, like, legit. Like, I know we're going to do our thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, that's all we got.
I don't know what else we got.
Because now I feel like we are going to get long-winded, but we will. The good news is that we are going to keep going with Baycast. We're going to do more regular episodes. We haven't thought about that cadence yet. We just wanted to update everybody, but you are going to hear and see more from Baycast. There's some really exciting things that are happening around us in general. Also, just shout out to everybody who's been a part of this journey thus far. Yeah. Shout out to everybody who came up for the B-Day, which turned into a B-Day / engagement party. Shout out to Chanel, Larissa, Sierra. And I'm not trying to name everybody, because, you know, my brothers, my sisters, Nate's family. Like, shout out to everybody. But the reason why I wanted to specifically shout out Chanel was, she didn't come to my birthday party, but she made it a point to come up here this past weekend, and she took us to brunch. She brought us the chocolate-covered strawberries. She took us out for drinks, and it was just a really good time with a really good friend. So shout-out to everybody who has been a part of our journey and who's becoming a part of our journey. And the sky's the limit with Baycast. The sky's the limit with us. So we hope you guys stay tuned to everything that we have to offer as far as our content.
Right. Like I said, sky's the limit. Thank you for listening. So podcast now is just, you know, it's the rave, but we, like you said, we trying to get back on it, and I know we got good things to share and help folks who wants to listen, and we can be entertaining as well. But again, we just trying to be more consistent and make sure that y'all asking for it, so we gonna give it to y'all. So again, thank y'all for listening. This is what we've been up to, and until then,
peace,
love,
Bay
Cast.